Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. There's something about beginning a new series that has that new car smell. Right, Brother Scott? That's just a little payback from Sunday school class, but I'm not done yet. I was going to let it slide. Gene said, you are going to get him back, aren't you? I said, well, if you want me to. And he said, do it. And I said, okay. That's dig number one, right, Brother Lyle? Matthew chapter 6. And the series that we're beginning to look at this week, a couple weeks down the road, I don't want to let it go on, is on God and money. Now, let me tell you that the Bible has a lot to say about this topic. And because I don't want this to like drag on for weeks on end, I'm going to make it a succinct 2 to 3 week series. But because of that, I'm going to have to condense my thoughts into little what I'd like to call power statements. And I'll just condense thoughts into one statement and then maybe explain it a little bit and then move on to another power statement, substantiate it with scripture and so on and so forth. So that's the plan. That's the game plan for the next couple of weeks. But let's jump into Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Go down with me to verse 24, please. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause to offer our hearts before you, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds. Teach us by your word and by your spirit on this subject, Lord. Help us to be comfortable with this subject. Help me to teach it the way you intend for it to be taught, Holy Spirit. Help me to teach it graciously. Help me to teach it gently. Help me to teach it truthfully in all these aspects. And Father, may yours be the glory and the glory alone. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so we see here that Jesus says a mouthful in just the verses that we read about money. Now, there are three questions before I say anything else. We need to discover or explore the three questions the Bible, when it addresses us and money, it asks us three questions. Question number one, how was the money gotten? How was the money gotten? That is vitally important. Because God does not endorse the ends justify the means. Can I get a witness on that? Now, if you go rob a bank and say, Pastor, you know, I got all this money that I want to get to the Lord. Well, baby, the Bible uses the words ill-gotten gain. If you look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, out of the King James Version, it uses something like treasures of wickedness. But if you look at the NIV, it uses those words, ill-gotten gain. The New Living Translation uses the word tainted wealth. So to God, it matters how you receive that money. Can I get a witness, please? We're not to compromise. We're not to do anything and everything to get money. Hello. Right? How we get that money is important to God, and it should be important to us. So question number one, how was that money gotten? Number two, how are we handling that money? Well, Pastor Joe, I don't like this series already. The Lord bless me so that I can stand. Charge it. Baby, you need plastic surgery. I'm not talking about your face. I'm talking about your cards. You need to take some scissors and start clipping them. Can I get a witness in the house? Some of you are looking at me strangely like, you can't. Why do you, how can you say that? Listen, my friends, nothing reveals more about our character than the way we handle money. I'll say it the way Billy Graham said it. Nothing will reveal what you treasure and value in this life than your checkbook ledger or your online banking. Yoo-hoo. It's gotten quiet all of a sudden. You notice that? Let's look at the scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Let's read verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be what? Also. Translation to modern parlance, to modern talk. How you spend your money says everything about what your heart treasures in this life. Right? I didn't say it, baby. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the delivery boy. I'm telling you the words of Jesus. And Jesus says that how we spend money in this life is a true reflection of what we truly value in this life. Right? Well, Pastor Joe, I was hoping you would give one of those messages of how to get rich. How can the Lord prosper me? Can I shoot it straight? I mean, I'm already on a roll, so if I've already offended you, why not just go the whole way? Is that okay? You know, that's one pet peeve I have against all these prosperity preachers is that they don't tell you that with money comes, number one, responsibility. Number two, it comes accountability. Right? Well, Pastor Joe, are you suggesting that we're going to answer to the Lord how we handle money in this life? I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you. Because that's what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 16, he says, if you don't know how to handle earthly wealth, who will entrust to you the true spiritual riches? Some of you say, oh gosh, I wish you would have preached on grace and mercy. Something else but money. Oh gosh. All right, so we see here that nothing reveals more than the way we handle money. Amen? Now, let me say here, you know, I'll allude to a book title by Joyce Meyer. She said, buy the shoes and eat the cookie. How many of y'all know that sometimes you just got to splurge on yourself? Nobody? That's right. But smell the leather. You mean the new car leather that you were? Yeah, that you were. I want. Okay, this is a. I'm gonna kid you here again. I know Scott will agree with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about how to pay a preacher. You read it. Yeah. Pay him well. It says here that no one, Paul the apostle. Gene, you put me up to this, brother. Paul the Apostle says, no soldier goes to war at his own expense. In other words, the government pays him for the duty, right? You've collected money from Uncle Sam in that, okay? And he says, no farmer plants a crop and not eat from the crop. And then he says, Paul does away with earthly illustrations, and he says, the law says, do not muzzle the ox that treads on a corn, for a laborer is worthy of his hire. Translation, pay the preacher. Is that good enough, Scott? I know you agree, brother. You know, no, all kidding aside, Paul said, if I sow spiritual seed into your life, how many of y'all believe that I'm sowing spiritual seed into your life? He said, it's not too much for me to ask a material blessing from you. What's that called? That's called money, honey. I'm just quoting the scripture, right, Brother Lyle? If we believe the Bible, we ought to believe the Old Testament and all of the New Testament, right, church family? Well, I didn't know those verses were in that Bible, by George. Well, they is now. Now, let me say here, church family, I know we're kidding and having fun. I'm very happy with my family.
Well, you should be, Pastor Joe. You got that new car out there. You first rolled up in a humble, in a little humble Escort, and then next thing you know, you rolled up in a luxury car, 2016 MKZ, and now you're rolling up in a 2020 EcoSport. You better be happy.
Oh, we're having fun. This is what they miss when they don't come to church, right, Miss Sheila? We're goofing. I'm glad we're having fun. It's a little... Question number three, all right? Question number three is, what effect is that money having on you? How many of y'all know that God wants to know that? What effect is money having on you? Lord have mercy. You know, I sometimes like to look at documentaries, and I see how sometimes these humble ministers that begin with humble beginnings, and the Lord uses them powerfully, and they create, you know, they grow exponentially, and their followership, and they get on TV, their viewership increases exponentially, and so now they're really powerhouse, and they're very influential, and they become very affluential. And I've heard other preachers close to these guys that made it to the top, not all of them, but a good number of them, that money changed them. It was no longer about, the emphasis of their ministry was no longer about ministering to people. It was now about having this big old ministry corporation, how to keep this monster going. No. Jesus frowns on that, baby. I love what Jesus told John in the book of Revelation. He said, I want you to be rich in faith, not in wealth. I want you to be rich in faith. God has chosen, James said, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. How many of y'all would much rather be rich in faith than rich in wealth? Well, how many of y'all remember the people in the Great Depression? They were rich in wealth, and then when the stock market plummeted, they plunged to their deaths. I'd rather be rich in faith, right? Because then I have an abiding trust that God's going to take care of me come hell or high water. He will take care of me. He will take care of you. So the third question is, what effect is money having on us? Do you realize that for some humble believers, the more money they have, the more money they become a blessing to others? Did you know that Tyler Perry, he founded the whole Madea personality, became wealthy through it. He's now become, he went from being a millionaire, a multimillionaire, to becoming a billionaire. But if you look at his backstory, he's given hundreds of thousands and millions to people. He'll go to these stores. He'll go to Walmart. He'll, during the Christmas season, he'll ask about all these, like, thousands of families who have stuff on layaway, and he'll pay for all of that so that they can have a Christmas gift under the tree that year. Now, I'm not suggesting that by giving, you'll become a billionaire. But listen, church family, you cannot outgive God. I'm getting way ahead of myself. That's a power thought. That's power thought number three or four. But that is true. How many of y'all have discovered that? Amen. I mean, you know, God is good. God is faithful. And if you give him something to work with, he will bless you. Well, Pastor Joe, he doesn't seem to bless me. I see all these other believers blessing. Are you a giver? Do you honor the Lord with your wealth? Oh. I'm just quoting scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And if you do, he will bless you. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a blessable person? What's a blessable person? Someone who gives, someone who tithes, someone who gives offerings? Can I get a witness in the house? Don't leave me flapping out by my lonesome. Amen. Who wants to be a blessable person? I want to be a blessable person. But sometimes we kind of short circuit the blessing of the Lord in our lives because we don't give him much to work with. Amen. And so he gives us what he's able to bless us with. You know, thank the Lord if he blesses us with teaspoons, well, that's okay. But I want dump trunks, dump trucks, a blessing.
Amen.
Amen? What's that, honey?
Ask big, get big.
Absolutely, hon. Look at my girlfriend. Anyway, beautiful. Anyway, I'm losing track here. All right, PowerPoint number one. Power comment number one. God owns it all. God owns it all. How much do you and I own? Zero. Baby, the man that has all his toys, all of us with all of our toys, when we pass on, our kids are going to put our stuff in the driveway and sell it off to strangers. Thank God we're gone. Otherwise, we'd be rolling over in our graves. Not my mower. God owns it all. Haggai, the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8. The silver in the earth is mine. The gold in the earth is mine, says the Lord. It's all His, church family. We are mere stewards. We have been entrusted with His resources for a period of time. And listen, that parable in Matthew chapter 25, I'm giving you tons of scriptures, so you can't come at me, you know, like, how dare you say that? I'm telling you, I'm just giving you the scripture of the talents were actually money that were entrusted to servants. Some received five, one received, what was it, two, and one received one. It was money. And those who put the master's money to use and receive profit from him, from the money for their master, he commended as good and faithful servants. Amen. Right? You know, we all say as a believer, that's the words I want to hear when I die and stand before the Lord. Well, we all want to hear, but church family, do we apply that to money as well? We are mere stewards, mere managers of God's provision. Now, here's a second power comment that we need to be made aware of. The first one is God owns it all. Number two, one of the greatest battles we will fight in life is going from ownership to stewardship. One of the greatest battles we will fight individually with the resources that we have financially is going from the attitude of I own it, it's mine, I've worked hard for it, and I'm not taking that away from you. Yes, you have. I hope you've worked hard for it. And going from that to going to, you know, this is the Lord's blessing on my life. Yes, I worked. Yes, I studied. Yes, I did this. But the Lord wants me still to honor Him with the wealth I have earned.
Amen.
Amen. It's one of the greatest battles we'll go through. But a battle worth fighting in our lives and a battle worth winning is going from ownership to stewardship. I got some cute cartoons that I'll show you next week talking about this. Because, church family, the flesh wants to say, well, I work for it, I own it. Lord, you can have my heart, but Lord, you can't have my money. Can we really say that? Can we separate the two, church family? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, that where, how your money is spent, that's where your heart is at? Can we really tell the Lord, Lord, you can have all of my heart, but you can't have any of my money? You can't say that. Because how we spend our money shows us, reveals to us, reveals to the Lord where our hearts are truly at. How many of y'all say this is good teaching here? Good stuff. It's solid. This is a foundation, church family, that we can sink our hopes in and our financial future. Well, Pastor Joe, I don't have a lot. Did anybody say that you have to have a lot? Isn't that what the third servant said in Matthew 25? He said, Lord, I only had this one talent, so I went out and buried it. And he said, man, you are a wicked and unprofitable servant. I wonder how many people, how many of God's people say, well, I don't have much to give to the Lord, so I won't give anything at all. You know, the Lord played some, I mean, I shouldn't say played a trick on me, but he read my mail one time. When I was a teenager, you know, I started getting the attitude, because once I started going to church, following Jesus, loving on the Lord, and, you know, trying to plant myself in a church where I could be taught the Word of God and grow, and I gave all of my allowance, and then I don't know why I started getting this attitude that, that, you know, I was only giving a dollar a Sunday. That's all I had, really. I was in high school, and it was not during the summer months where I could have a job. And I stopped giving it because I thought it's not that big a deal. Only $1 as a teenager, 16 years old, $1, until the pastor prophetically walked up to me. Nobody knew this but me. The pastor walked up to me and he said, "You need to quit with the attitude that what you're giving the Lord is not enough, and you start giving again." And I'm like, over a dollar. How many of y'all know that that $1 still says to the Lord that he's got my heart? Amen. Right? It's not about the amount, baby. It's about your heart. The Lord wants our hearts. And if the Lord can get your money, he's got your heart. Oh, Pastor Joe, it's so painful. It's so painful to give. It's so painful to give. Go with me. You ought to see some of your faces. You're like, hmm. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, please. Miss Sheila, or church council, we ought to have a camera up here looking at the faces. Record some of that. Replay it at a fun time. Oh, Lord, have mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter, I believe I want to say 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You farmers know this is true. Farmers make a living off of this life principle. Can I get a witness, please? You understand this. You don't need to be taught about giving because that is your livelihood. Verse 7. So let each one give as he does what in his heart? Yes, he decides or purposes in his heart, not what? Not grudgingly. What's your version say, Scott? Reluctantly. Or of necessity, for God loves a what?
Cheerful
giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let me say this, church family. When I talk about the offering, do you feel like I'm a dentist pulling one of your teeth? Do you feel the pain that way? Like, here he goes again. Doesn't he get paid well enough? I mean, shoot, look at all these new cars he's rolling up in. And all those spiffy little clothes. I've priced some of them clothes. I know what he does at night. He's online shopping. I know he's a covetous preacher. He's like one of them. They ought to name his last name Dollar. Like that other black preacher in Atlanta. So anyway, sorry. We ought to be cheerful about our giving. Listen, it's all about trust. Amen. Stewardship is all about trust. You know, I'm going to close with this illustration, but a friend of mine, one of the elders of his church that I served in Kansas, he and I used to go golfing at some of these, they called them, they were like sand greens. It was out in a prairie, and we would take our golf cart, and then at the ninth hole, it was only nine holes. We would do it twice over to cover 18 holes. At the ninth hole, they had a little water pump that they had a little bucket there with water. Now, sometimes when we went out golfing, it got really hot in that Kansas heat, and that wind would blow that dry heat in your face. So we were thirsty. Now, we could have drank from the water that was provided there, but there was a sign that says to prime the pump, or use the water to prime the pump. Now, we could have used that water to have drank from it, but that's all we would have gotten.
Amen.
But if we use that water to prime the pump, how much more water would we have gotten?
You can get all you want.
You can get all you want. See, that's the same concept with giving. I'm glad we're ending on giving, because we're gonna talk about this next week. All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Father, thank you for revelation from your Word. Thank you for these power thoughts, Lord, that you own it all. That one of the greatest battles we'll ever fight in our lives is going from ownership to stewardship. Realizing, Lord, that we own nothing. That we have been entrusted with resources in this life. Thank you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. Bless your people.